and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Mati.
Hi, Mati. Nice to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on to the Bingeables Podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Chinlin. So my name is Mati, and I also have a podcast that is called the Movie Marathoners Podcast. So we are similar to this podcast, a podcast about, film and TV, mainly on the film side. But we do a lot of TV reviews as well, and it's just me as the host. So I have a lot of really great guests just from either my personal life or from around the internet who come and help me talk about films and TV. So I would love if you would check that out. But I am here today to help Chinlin talk about a really awesome TV show.
For our listeners to get to know you a little bit, can you share a few of your favorite shows or movies?
Yeah, so I went with shows just to keep it in the bingeables mode. I think my all-time favorite show, it's a little cliche, but my all-time favorite show is Friends. And I just love that show because it's something that I grew up with and I've gone back to it again and again in different points of my life. And I feel like it's just a great comfort show. The other ones that I have listed, I think, are just shows that I don't know if they're necessarily my favorite shows, but they're shows I absolutely love. And I think that people should see them. So I've got American Vandal, which is on Netflix, which is just an amazing show that people should check out. And I wish it was not canceled. In that same vein, Santa Clarita Diet is on Netflix, and I love that show. Also got canceled before its time. And then I really love Succession on HBO right now, and on Amazon Prime, I absolutely adore The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
So, quick question. I think I saw a thumbnail on American Vandal. Is that a docuseries?
So it's a mocu-series. So it's a fake documentary series where basically it's the whole idea is that it's sort of making fun of docuseries, things like Making a Murder and specifically the Serial podcast. And so it's kind of a documentary it's a docuseries that's kind of pitched as it's being made by these kids in high school. And in the school, there was a prank where somebody drew a whole bunch of penises on the cars of teachers in a parking lot, and the school quickly found out the kid who they thought was guilty and expelled him. And so the documentary looks into that and sees, because this kid claims he didn't do it, and so it looks into if it was possible that he did it, and if not him, then who did it. And it's kind of like a true crime, but on a fake crime. But the whole thing has such an amazing production value, and it takes itself really seriously, even though it's such a silly crime. And it's in that way, it's hilarious, but it's also really poignant about kind of the justice system, obviously within school, but also then kind of, also in the American justice system and how that can fail people and how a lot of times people are guilty before they're even proven and things like that. So I think it's a great show.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's a lot more to it than I thought.
Yeah, you have to get through the first episode because the first episode is the setup. And, it comes off a little juvenile because there are like dick jokes and stuff like that. But I think as you go along, it gets better and better with each episode. And they're only 30 minutes. And I think the total thing is like 8 episodes. So I burned through a rewatch of the first season like in, a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think most Netflix shows, most of their seasons are 8 or 10 episodes. Okay, yeah. All right, well, it sounds like something Isaac might enjoy too, so I'll let him know as well.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that show. It is great, and I wish more people saw it because it can't have cost much to make, so I have no idea why Netflix canceled it.
Well, the thing with Netflix is that they're always coming up with new content. So,
right.
Like, I feel like it's just so oversaturated sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of your hobbies outside of TV and movie watching?
Yeah, so the other half of the Movie Marathoners podcast is there's the movies and then there's also the marathons. So it's supposed to be kind of a pun. We obviously don't, you know, talk too much about marathons, but I like running. I love running. I ran in college and now I'm running marathons. So I was going to run the Boston Marathon in a week from today, actually. But, you know, that got postponed because of everything going on in the world. But I'm still running and I absolutely love running. So that's my other hobby that I do when I have the time.
Well, hey, at least you're staying in shape.
I try to.
Would you also like to share your social media handles?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main one is Twitter. I think I'm most active on Twitter, and that's where we interacted first. So you can follow me on Twitter at MovieMaraPod. So that's Movie M-A-R-A Pod. So I would love if you followed me, and I would, you know, interact with me, reach out to me, tell me how you found me, and would love to talk TV and movies.
All righty. So moving on to a quick segment called Whatcha Bingin'. So I started this new segment this year, 2020, where just wanted to throw in some relevancy to the podcast. So what are you currently binging on, aside from the show that we're going to talk about in a few minutes?
Yeah, so the main one that I've been watching is Better Call Saul, which is the prequel series to Breaking Bad. I watched Breaking Bad around when the series ended, I think in 2013 or so. And, you know, I had heard Better Call Saul is great, Better Call Saul is great. And I just never got around to it. But the fifth season just dropped and my girlfriend was like, you should catch up so we can watch the fifth season. And so we have been binging through it and we are now caught up on the fifth season. And it is just, it's an amazing show. Jinlin, have you seen Breaking Bad?
So I watched all of season one. I started on season two. I can't remember which episode I stopped watching. I know it's a good show. I always hear great things about Breaking Bad. But the thing is, it's so intense and it causes anxiety when you're invested that much into the main characters. So I think because of that, that's why I stopped watching. It was just kind of too intense for me at the time.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fair.
yeah. Because when I watch TV, like, I do want to take my mind off of my own life and the world that I live in, but I don't necessarily want to experience anxiety through a fictional character's world, if that makes sense. I don't mind it if it's fantasy or sci-fi, but with something like drug dealing, I'm just like, no, thank you.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, you know, I don't think you can really watch and fully appreciate Better Call Saul without seeing Breaking Bad. But Better Call Saul is definitely less action heavy and less intense than Breaking Bad. Although it does kind of still have that sort of anxiety feeling of watching somebody who's, you know, kind of on the cusp of about having their entire life fall apart because of their questionable decisions. So there is that, but I just think it's a phenomenal show in the same way that Breaking Bad is. It's really clear from watching this show that Vince Gilligan knows exactly what he's doing. And even if what's on screen isn't necessarily riveting or exciting, there's just something about the way that they introduce characters and the way that they have actors that perfectly personify these characters. It's just a fantastic show to watch, and I absolutely love it.
Anything else that you've been binging on before I start yapping away?
Yeah, I mean, really quickly, my girlfriend's roommate has been doing an MCU rewatch since we have a lot of free time on our hands now. And so I've been hopping in when I can into all of those. So I've got to see a lot of the MCU films again, and I love all of those films. And there was a couple that I thought, you know, that I remembered not as fondly. I enjoyed a lot more, and there were some that I thought weren't going to hold up as much, and they were just still fantastic. So I've really enjoyed it, and we ended on Endgame a little while ago, and it's an amazing movie. So really love the MCU. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's so good.
I'm just not of a huge movie person anymore. I used to be when I was in high school. I loved going to see movies. I loved getting movies to rent and watch, but ever since college, I've just developed more of a love and appreciation for long-form storytelling through television, so it's just really hard for me to get into the right mood to watch a movie nowadays. Now, that's not to say I'll never go see a movie. I think the last movie I saw in theaters was Little Women.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was going to see Mulan when it was originally going to release March 27th. But then, you know, COVID and all, everything's postponed. So, yeah, I was... For certain movies that I watch trailers for and I know for a fact that this is my kind of movie, I'm totally going to go see it in theaters when it releases. I will definitely go watch those. And then for some other movies, I just feel like, I can wait until it comes on Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah, well, the MCU is the television series of movies, so... You know, maybe that helps bridge the gap a little bit. I don't know.
There's so many MCU movies, and they're aren't the timelines all jungled up? I mean, I don't want to get into it. This isn't an MCU episode, but I just feel intimidated sometimes because there's just so many of them.
Yeah.
And over time, I've just kind of lost interest because there's so many, and it kind of felt like the superhero genre was getting oversaturated.
Yeah, I mean, that's
just
fair.
Just my two cents. I know you're the movie marathoner, so I'm sorry, just my two cents on that.
No, I think the MCU definitely does have its problems, and so does the superhero genre in general. And that's sort of what I'm hoping now that this kind of first chapter of Endgame and everything has ended, they can kind of start being a little more experimental with things. But because there was a time kind of halfway through that they were playing it very safe, in my opinion. And I think towards the end, they started doing some more ambitious things. And even if you don't follow the entire series from start to finish, I think each of the individual movies, especially the ones more recently, is entertaining enough that you can watch that as a whole if you want to, like, you know, see what all the fuss is about. You can definitely hop in at, like, Thor Ragnarok or Black Panther or something like that.
Yeah, okay. As for me, I am recently binging on this show called Reign. It is about, it's R-E-I-G-N. It's about Mary, Queen of Scots. It was a show that aired on the CW. I recently finished season 3. I'm starting on season 4. This is more of a rewatch for me because I was feeling nostalgic for a sort of historical drama. So... that's what I was mostly binging on. But yeah, are we ready to move on to the meat of this episode?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So we are here to talk about the HBO comedy tech series Silicon Valley.
Yay.
This is going to be our spoiler-free preview episode where we will give a spoiler-free overview of the show and why we think geeks should watch it. And I will let you, Mati, read the official synopsis of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, so the very short synopsis is that Silicon Valley follows the struggle of Richard Hendricks, a Silicon Valley engineer trying to build his own company called Pied Piper.
So I did a little bit of research on IMDb and the co-creators. There's three of them, Mike Judge, John Altshuler, I hope I'm saying that right, and Dave Krinsky. So they all worked on King of the Hill together. Mike Judd created King of the Hill, and he also created Beavis and Butthead, which ran from 93 to 2011. And John and Dave, they were executive producers on King of the Hill. And then they also did two other shows together that they were co-producers for. They did History of the World for Now and Lopez.
I have not seen any of those shows. Well, maybe I've seen a couple episodes of King of the Hill.
Yeah, right? Like when it came on TV way back when at like 6:30, it went for when you're having dinner with your family. Yeah, I agree. I haven't watched any of their other shows, but King of the Hill, I've probably caught a few episodes here or there when they played reruns.
Yeah, that was back when like you didn't really have a choice what you could watch because there was like, you know, a couple channels and there was no Netflix, so whatever was on TV was what I was watching, and sometimes I guess it was King of the Hill.
Yep, yeah.
So for the cast, the first cast member is Thomas Middleditch. He plays Richard Hendricks, who of course is the founder and CEO of Pied Piper. And at the time, he was more known for his stand-up than, you know, acting. I think now if you don't recognize him, he was also in the Verizon commercials for a while, and he had a small little role in Godzilla King of Monsters.
That's right, Verizon. I was trying to figure out. I know he was in some commercials. I was trying to figure out which one. Verizon, thank you.
It's always funny to see these actors that I hold in pretty high regard just do these random commercials, and they're like not playing themselves, or maybe they are, but they don't draw attention to it, you know? It's weird.
The next cast member is Kumail Nanjiani. God, I hope I'm saying that right.
I think so.
As Dinesh Chugtai, he is one of the engineers. So Kumail was in... he's done a bit of voice acting. He voices a reoccurring character on Bob's Burgers, one of my favorite shows of all time. he voices a guy named Skip Marooch. And he apparently also voices the character Jesus on Bless the Hearts. It's a new animated series. I think it started last year. I think it's on Fox right now. And Kumail was also in these films, The Big Sick and Doolittle, the live adaptation of Doolittle, which I think was a flop. I can't remember.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I'm pretty sure he's like a giraffe or a penguin or something. Who knows?
Yeah. He is going to be in Internals, right?
Yeah, and he got super jacked for it. And so then the next cast member is Martin Starr as the ying to Kumail Nanjiani's yang, Bertram Guilfoyle. So he is another engineer. And Martin Starr is a person that's kind of popped up here and there and everything. He's in Freaks and Geeks, Hawaii Five-O, and Drunk History. And he's also been in films like Knocked Up and Superbad. And he was also in Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home, where he plays one of Peter Parker's teachers.
Oh, wow. I didn't rewatch those. Because I vaguely remembered him in Superbad, but I couldn't remember who he played.
Yeah.
And then Amanda Crew stars as Monica Hall. She is a venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. So the first time I ever saw Amanda Crew in a movie was She's the Man. Amanda Bynes is the star of that movie. Oh, I have the DVD. I love it. Oh my God. Amanda Crew was one of her three best friends in that movie.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amanda Crew has also been in the films Charlie St. Cloud and The Age of Adeline. I haven't seen either of those, so I can't really say much about it.
So after that, we've got Zach Woods as Donald, a.k.a. Jared Dunn. He is kind of a biz dev sort of guy. He's also one of my favorite characters. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. You may recognize him from later seasons of The Office. He was a guest star in Veep, and he's currently in HBO's Avenue 5.
And next up, we have Josh Brenner as Nelson, Big Head Baghetti. He is Richard's best friend on the show. And so I didn't I looked at his IMDb page and he hasn't really done a whole lot of acting, so I didn't put anything in this outline.
Am I wrong to think that he was in that like Google TV or movie with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson called The Internship?
Was he?
Huh. Yeah, he was.
Oh,
that's the
okay.
only thing that I remember him being in. And he plays, you know, a very similar character, of course, but interesting. Oh, he voices Donnie in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, never mind. Sorry, that's a TV show. Never mind. Okay. So after that, we have Jimmy O. Yang. He plays Jin Yang. He is Ehrlich's bitch, I suppose. Okay. Show notes.
Show notes. I put that
show
there.
Show notes, not me.
He kind of starts out like Ehrlich's bitch.
Yeah.
Because he works a lot with Ehrlich.
Yeah, he's a great character too. You can also see him in Crazy Rich Asians. I believe he's kind of the main character. What's his name? Henry Golding's cousin in Crazy Rich Asians. And I think he's also in Patriot's Day. He plays one of the guys who gets kind of hijacked by one of the Boston bombing terrorists. And I thought he was fantastic in that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and he also guest starred on Fresh Off the Boat, and he will be in Space Force, which is the Netflix comedy show created by Greg Daniels and Steve Carell.
And last, but certainly not least, we have
yeah.
T.J. Miller starring as Ehrlich Bachman. Ehrlich is the guy who owns the house, aka incubator, that all the other guys live in when they first get started with Pied Piper. T.J. Miller, I believe he started out in comedy before he got into acting. He was also in Deadpool and Deadpool 2 and Ready Player One. And he voiced in How to Train Your Dragon 2 and Big Hero 6.
Awesome. So we'll do five quick fun facts about Silicon Valley. We got these from a Mental Floss article. So the first early iteration of the show was actually about two women who moved from LA to Silicon Valley to pursue billion-dollar ideas. Clearly a very different show. I don't know if there are two women in the entire thing, but
I think if they had moved forward with that idea, I would still have watched it. Because
yeah,
Silicon Valley is just the area itself. It's mostly male dominated, right?
Yeah.
So I think it would have been cool to see two female leads in a show like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Number two, nearly every actor who ended up as a series regular, with the exception of Thomas Middleditch, auditioned to play Ehrlich Bachman. I think that would have been interesting to see some of those guys as Ehrlich Bachman. I guess we can talk about that a little bit, huh?
I cannot imagine Martin Starr as Ehrlich Bachman. I just can't.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't have worked at all.
Oh, man. He's too good as Guilfoyle.
Yeah. And I mean, T.J. Miller is, you know, pretty good as Ehrlich Bachman as well. So. Mm-hmm. It's tough to separate the two. Number three, actress Amanda Crew almost canceled her audition as venture capitalist Monica Hall because she was concerned her character would be a seductress. And I'm very glad that she is not. I think her character is really great. And it's awesome that she's not really a love interest for any of the other characters.
I agree as well, mostly because there's just... It's just so easy for a female character to become a male, a love interest for a male character in television. So I'm glad that they didn't go that route. Like, she's Richard's friend. Like, she's there for him. She supports him. And that's, I'm glad they didn't diverge from that because it would have gotten too cliche.
Yeah, and they sort of flirt with that idea, no pun intended, I guess, in season one, but definitely drop it for the rest of the show, and I think it's a really smart move.
Mm-hmm. And then fun fact number four, there is a Pied Piper website that HBO created for the run of the show. And on the website, you can see there's a blog section written by the character Jared Dunn.
That's amazing. I'll need to check that out.
Yeah, I'll try to remember to put it in the description so everyone else can also check it out. Forewarned, that is going to lead to spoiler territory for anybody who hasn't watched the show. And then last but not least, fun fact number 5, many of the stars on Silicon Valley have actually became tech investors.
Wow.
I didn't list out all of the companies that they invested, but I'll make sure to put the link for the Mental Floss article on the fun facts as well, because I thought that was really cool. Some of them were investing in, like, I can't remember, like climate change company. Oh, great. Or I don't know. It was just really cool that the show made an impact for them to want to invest in companies like that.
Yeah, I'm sure that they probably had like tech consultants and stuff on the show that I bet really helped them kind of get into the ground level of that sort of stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah. All right, so we're reaching towards the end of the spoiler-free episode. Why do we think geeks should watch Silicon Valley? And I'm going to start off. It's an intense comedy, but it's also fun. And it's made for a general public, so you don't have to know anything about tech or startups to enjoy the show. And it doesn't boggle down too much on the technical side, so you're not taken out of the world when they introduce a technical issue or problem that the company comes across. And it's a great comedy that just mocks the tech culture in Silicon Valley. And I would argue that it's a great show for geeks because once you start watching, you're either invested or you're not. And I want to argue that this isn't a show for a casual watcher, because there's so much that happens in a single season. Like, you really need to be invested in it. So I think because we're geeks and we love all of the fandoms that we invest in, like, this is another great one, a great show to invest in as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think I don't want to just repeat what you said. So I think the one thing I'll add is that the characters themselves, I think, are really just great characters. This is a show where it's kind of a commentary on these types of geeks and nerds that kind of populate Silicon Valley, where they are often brilliant and they're often, you know, doing these great prolific things, but they're also kind of self-righteous and a little self-destructive, and their relationships can be very toxic and aggressive, especially in the larger culture of Silicon Valley. And I think the show does a really good job at poking fun at all of those things and kind of showing some of these characters and their toxic traits for what they are, which is toxic traits. And I think that this is another one of those shows, like you said, that you can fully invest in, mainly because every single character, or almost every single character, including even side characters that pop up for like one or two episodes, they have these personalities that are turned up to 11. And so the whole show has this kind of manic, infectious energy that really makes you kind of remember each character and each episode. So I'm sure when we get into the spoiler territory, we'll talk about specific episodes, like remember the episode where this and this happens, or remember the episode with this specific coder. And it's almost like you could make a complete show just on a single one of these characters. And there's dozens and dozens of them throughout this show. So I think it's a great show to really get invested in. And it's a really good show to rewatch because it's relatively short.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. This was my first rewatch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like I got into Silicon Valley, I think, season two or something. So I binged all of season one, and then I started getting into it, watching it regularly when it was airing seasons two and three and so forth. So this was my first full rewatch of the whole show, and I literally started on Sunday, and now we've gotten to Saturday, the day we're recording, and yeah. But yeah, thank you so much for your eloquent mini speech, Monty.
You're too kind.
But yeah, that pretty much wraps up our spoiler-free preview on HBO's Silicon Valley. So please stick around next week for our full spoiler episode. And thank you again, Monty, for taking the time to do this, coming on as a guest for the Bingeables podcast.
Hey, well, thank you for having me. And I'm really excited to dig into this spoiler discussion.
And now, a message from our friends at Legendary Podcast.
We all know real life can suck sometimes. And your boss accidentally seeing you in your underpants on Zoom last week doesn't help any. That's why, reluctantly codependent sisters and professional idiots, Dashira and Rashalia, keep you enthralled and in stitches every week with their brand new podcast, Legendary. Every week, they take you on a journey of mythical lands, magical objects, and monstrous creatures, both ancient and modern. Find Legendary on CastBox, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya, and wherever you feed your ears. Remember, stay safe, stay sexy, and stay legendary. Thanks again for listening to the Bingeables podcast. We hope you can join us on this binge-watching journey.
And make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Until next time. The Bingeables podcast is produced by patron Raymond G. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.